In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you were with us last Wednesday evening, you heard me talk about the importance of the great cloud of witnesses, the saints who have been bought and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ who have gone before us. Last Wednesday, you also heard me talk a little bit about the Apocrypha, those hidden books, the second canon, if you will, which have been attested by some Christians to be the scriptures, but by us held at least to be words written by men who believed in the Messiah who was to come. And so, as this night we gather, we remember a female saint. Last Wednesday, the saint was much better known, St. Nicholas of Myra. Tonight, St. Lucia, or St. Lucia, or St. Lucy, who is pretty well known, especially in Scandinavian countries, but for many of us, we have forgotten much about her. And partly, that is because there has been so much added to the legend of who she is. What I can tell you is, we know of this young woman, who decided that she would give what she had to the poor and live her life that way. A woman who was born to a rich father and a mother, but a father who died when she was young, and a mother who decided what would be best for her is to have a man marry her. The problem with that, of course, is that the man that was chosen was a pagan. He was a man who did not believe in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, St. Lucia, who lived until AD 304, would end up being betrayed by her own fiancé. When it was found out that she had indeed taken the dowry and that her mother did sell it to give to the poor, this pagan man was so enraged at the treasure that he thought belonged to him that he turned in his fiancée as a Christian. And what that means for her, living under Emperor Diocletian, is death. In those days in the Roman Empire, you would be put to death for confessing Jesus Christ. This young woman, in her early 20s, confessed Jesus all the way to her death. And so she is martyred in 304 for being a Christian, for being unwavering in that belief. There are some legends that have been added over the years about her eyes, about the concept that in many of these Scandinavian countries, especially where it gets so dark and dismal during the winter, that she would come with lights upon her head and bring food. But the concept here is that we can still do these sorts of things, that on St. Lucia's day, we can remember the light that shines forth in every Christian because the light of the world has come. And that light of the world is Jesus Christ. We can remember that men and women, old and young, who have died for the faith, for the confession of the name of Jesus. For a confession that Jesus Christ is the sole way to heaven. That it is only by faith in his death and his resurrection. Faith that he is God who took on flesh, who bore our sins all the way to the tree of the cross to die for us. That he is Lord, he is King, he is the Christ. Be unwavering in that faith as she was. Remember that you do have that great cloud of witnesses who have gone before you, that no matter how hard this life might get, what awaits the Christian far surpasses any of the trials of this life. As I mentioned before, the Apocrypha is assigned again for tonight, And as I said last week, I decided not to include it as a lesson, but instead to include it in the sermon as a reading from faithful Christians who have gone before us. Again, a reading from Ecclesiasticus, this time from chapter 51. O Lord my God, I sent up my supplication from the earth, prayed for deliverance from death. I appealed to the Lord, the Father of my Lord, not to forsake me in the days of affliction, at the time when there is no help against the proud. I will praise your name continually. I will sing praise with thanksgiving. My prayer was heard, for you saved me from destruction and rescued me from an evil plight. Therefore, I will give thanks to you and praise you, and I will bless the name of the Lord our God. As last week, there is nothing in what I've just read that goes against our holy scriptures that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we can see the benefit therein of reading these early Christian words, these people who confessed the Christ who was to come. And while we can wonder why this would be a sign for a woman who was put to death in her early 20s, another part of the story goes that her mother was very, very sickly. But they prayed fervently to the Lord that he might save her. Her health recovered enough that that dowry that I mentioned could be bought or sold to care for the poor. The Lord heard that prayer and delivered many lives through it. But this word that I've just read to you is not the word of the salvation of Jesus Christ. It is a helpful word. It is a word that Lutherans have included in their daily devotions, included in our liturgy. But I want to focus especially on words that St. Lucia held dearly, words of our Lord Jesus Christ, words written by St. Matthew, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the kingdom of heaven, being like hidden treasure. That this is a pearl of great price. The fact is that this pearl, the gift of faith, is not bought or paid for by us. We cannot buy our way into heaven. We cannot buy our dead loved ones through purgatory into heaven. Rather, it is only by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He writes, paid in full on the bill. And in turn, he gives us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that pearl, that treasure. We can give up every single thing that this world has to offer, all the money, all the wealth, all of the stuff, if we hold nearly to that present, that gift. The Holy Spirit still works to call, to gather, to enlighten, and sanctify the whole Christian church, you and me included, throughout the world. He has called you here this very night that you might hear of how our Lord worked in people of old and how our Lord works in you. How this Jesus loves you so fully, so completely, that he would pay for the full price. That he would allow his blood to be shed. That he would even face death and the gruesome death of a cross to buy us out of the misery that we deserve. The Holy Spirit has turned your hearts to this Jesus. Look upon this Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He is the only one that saves. There will be a time when he returns. And on that day, the angels will separate them out, those who have followed Christ, those who have rejected him. And there will be wailing, there will be weeping, there will be gnashing of teeth. But not for you. On that day, you will rejoice because you will see Jesus as he is. Your bodies will be glorified and you will rejoice around him for all eternity. Yes, the weeping and the gnashing will be great. But the joy, the peace, the love of Christ will far outweigh any of it. The scribes have written, the prophets have written, Moses has written, that we might see Jesus, that we might confess Jesus with St. Lucia, with St. Nicholas, with all those who have gone before, and for those who are yet to come, that we might confess even in the face of death as she did, that we might rejoice in the fact that God delivered her and that God delivered the Christians. Because another part of her legend was that she prophesied that the reign of terror would soon come to an end. Whether or not she truly did that, the fact is that that reign of terror did shortly come to an end. For 2 years later, in 306, Emperor Constantine takes over, and he will be a servant of the Lord to bring Christianity to the world. We give thanks to God for those faithful people who have gone before us, not because they have deserved the gift of faith, not because they earned heaven by their own works, but because Jesus Christ earned it for them and for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.